Earlier today at Peace and Justice Plaza on Franklin Street, a rally in support of the UNC Center for Civil Rights, Reverend William Barber, one of several who spoke on behalf of the center, which again, as we've reported, is facing that proposal from the Board of Governors that would prohibit it from engaging in active litigation. NAACP, not the only organization speaking out in favor of the center this week. The Chapel Hill Town Council, the Carborough Board of Aldermen, and the Orange County Board of Commissioners all passing resolutions supporting the center as well. We're joined now by the managing attorney for the center, also the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, Mark Dorison, who was there earlier today. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. As always, it's great to see you, Aaron.
How was it earlier today? Who spoke? What did they say?
It was wonderful. It was a great turnout. I think there was probably, you know, over 75 folks came out and, you know, gathered in Peace and Justice Plaza. Reverend Barber gave a rousing call to action for people to support the Center for Civil Rights and really put the attack on the center in context with what's happening, you know, across our state and even nationally. In addition to Reverend Barber, the Center for Civil Rights Executive Director Ted Shaw spoke. I spoke briefly. Minister Robert Campbell, who's the head of the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, which was a client of the center for a long time, spoke. Public Defender James Williams, the Honor Richards, the president of the local Chapel Hill Carborough branch, UNC law student Tim Longus spoke. It was really a powerful gathering. The Raging Grannies sang inspirationally as always. And so it was reassuring to see the real outpouring of support, not just for the center itself, but really for the work we do and the communities that we represent and the issues those communities are facing.
It's got to be reassuring. It's got to be heartening to get support like that from so many different organizations and different people. How important is that support in terms of putting pressure on the Board of Governors?
I think it's critically important. I'm not sure how much attention the Board of Governors are paying. I think there are some members who are determined to push this thing through, who have real ideological opposition to the work the center does and the folks we represent. But I'm hopeful that there are some who have not made up their minds and who recognize the really broad negative impact this will have. And we've been hearing from folks not only from communities that the center has directly worked with, but they're also, we're hearing from faculty across the university, across the UNC system. There was just a letter from the president of the American Association of University Professors raising academic freedom issues. There's certainly many people who believe that this will be damaging to the university's reputation, to the law school's reputation, to the state. The dean of the law school came out very, you know, with a very strong condemnation of the action. So, you know, we are committed to fight this thing as hard as we can, and, you know, and to do that in good faith. I'm just hopeful that the Board of Governors are reacting or treating this, you know, in kind.
Yeah. We're speaking with Mark Dorison, again, managing attorney for the Center for Civil Rights and Orange County Commissioner, but focusing on the center, obviously, this week, because all the resolutions are passing. The meeting was, or the rally was today at 3:00. The public hearing is tomorrow, right, at 11:00. And I know the public comment, the opportunity to sign up has closed, but there are still ways that people can weigh into the board, right?
Yes. Folks can email the board. Their email address is
public@bog.northcarolina.edu.
Yes, thank you. That's why they pay you the
big
bucks.
I may have had to say that like 20 times.
Yeah, so people can still email the Board of Governors. They can email Carol Folt. Her email is chancellor@unc.edu. They could email Margaret Spellings. Her email is president@unc.edu. And I think writing letters to the editor, coming out tomorrow to the public hearing. The Board of Governors has their official meeting next week on the 18th and 19th. And so, folks, this issue will not be on the agenda, but folks could come out and show their support there as well. And, you know, if folks want more information, they can always contact me.
Mm-hmm. Will board members be at that meeting tomorrow?
There will be a few board members at the meeting tomorrow. We think there will only be three. So that's sort of a subcommittee of this Education Policy Committee that's considering this proposal to shut down the advocacy work. Mm-hmm. So there will be this subcommittee of three there We don't know if there'll be any more.
Yeah, and then the full meeting is next week, Thursday, Friday, but then the meeting where the decision is made is probably going to be July in Asheville, but I was hearing earlier this week that that might even potentially get put off too, or is that something that, that isn't
I haven't heard that. I
okay.
mean, the last I heard was that, that it will be on July 14th okay. in Asheville, so Bastille Day.
Oh, good. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
That's right. So that's when the committee will vote on this proposal.
Yeah. And a good, since it's Bastille Day, like a good reminder that, you know, we talk about this in the context of UNC and its commitment to public service and its commitment to education and training people within the law school to be effective advocates and effective litigators. You give them hands-on experience in doing all that. The work of the Center for Civil Rights is extremely important for all of those reasons. It's also important for the people who get served, these communities, these individuals who either are clearly having their civil rights violated by municipal organizations, state organizations, national organizations, or at least are engaging with government in a way that civil rights questions are very seriously being raised. And without the center, those communities, those individuals are either not going to have advocates at all, or it's going to be a lot harder for them to find.
That's exactly right. You know, James Williams at the rally today made the point that the state has been looking into the issue of access to justice for under-resourced, low-wealth individuals and communities. There's been a long-standing committee of the bar. It's chaired by the Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court. And that committee is focused on the very issue that you're highlighting. How do low-wealth communities and individuals get access to the legal system? So on the one hand, we have part of the state that's recognized this is a vital and desperate need. And at the same time, we have another aspect of the state that is looking to shut down one of the most, I think, most important opportunities to bring that resource, legal resources, to those very excluded communities.
Yeah, and I think it's important, especially this week, to talk about sort of one of the arguments that I used the word spelunctory to refer to people who make arguments that sound really good until you've gotten out of Plato's cave and you see the world for what it actually is. One of the more spelunctory arguments that sound really good on paper until you think about it, which is, well, a state agency shouldn't be suing another state agency. Like, why is the state suing itself? But you think about this on the national level with President Trump firing James Comey, which is the thing that everyone's talking about this week. What is the agency that we are looking to get underneath the surface of that and investigate and figure out what's going on and maybe to check any potential abuses of power if they are happening? We're looking to the FBI, which is a federal agency. We're looking to the U.S. Senate, which is a federal agency. We're looking at the justice system, which is a federal agency, and it's federal agency versus federal agency. When it's a case like this and you've got abuses of power within the government, unfortunately, for better or worse, it's other government agencies that we have that have the power to check those government agencies, and that's the case here too.
That's exactly right, and you know, I like your cave analogy. this idea that the because the center is part of the law school, it's an arm of the state, and the state shouldn't be involved in suing another arm of the state. I mean, that's flawed on two really important levels. One is, it makes a mistake about how lawyers work generally, not just the center, right? The center doesn't sue people. We don't, UNC Law School doesn't sue people. And we represent clients. We represent people who have been victimized by discrimination. And those folks are who brings the claim, who brings the lawsuit. It's not the lawyers. And we represent those people, and we represent them zealously and diligently and ethically, just like every other lawyer does. So it's not even true to say it's one arm of the state suing another. But even if it were, we know that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, the legislature and the governor have been suing each other for, you know, years now, and the cities sue counties, and this state legislature sues school boards. And so it's really a myth, you know. And when you start to unpack that, you know, in civil rights law, there's a not to go too law professor on you, when in discrimination law, there's a process. The plaintiff makes a claim and says, I've been discriminated against, you know, because of my race or gender or whatever it is. And then the defendant, the government or the employer, gets an opportunity to offer some legitimate non-discriminatory reason for why it's taken the action. You weren't the most qualified or something else. Mm. And then the plaintiff gets an opportunity to show that that proffered reason is a pretext, that it's not true. When you start looking at some of the justifications for shutting down advocacy for the center, what you find, as you just pointed out, you know, these arguments, they're pretextual. They mm-hmm. don't make sense. You know, first it was that states shouldn't sue the state. Then it was that, you know, taxpayer money shouldn't be used to sue the state. The center doesn't get any taxpayer money. We're funded privately.
Place, yeah.
And then it was, well, it doesn't provide an educational, it's not part of the educational mission of the law school. But in fact, we provide the same experiential learning opportunities that law clinics do, that other externships, that other internships do. So when you start really spelunking, as you say, you know, what you find, what's left, it seems to be the only justification, which is opposition to the nature of the work we do, the types of claim, the types of folks we represent, and the nature of the claims that they're making, which is about the continuing impacts of race discrimination.
Yep. Speaking with Mark Dorison again, Center for Civil Rights. Public hearing is Thursday. People can go to that. That's at the Center for School Leadership Development on Friday, Center Drive. public@bog.northcarolina.edu is the catch-all email address. You can send one email to that, and it goes to every member of the Board of Governors, right?
That's right.
chancellor@unc.edu if you want to email Chancellor Carol Folt. That's her public email address. What else can people do?
Well, they could write letters to the editor. There's mm-hmm. a petition. There's a change.org petition that some law students have started. They can find that online and sign it. And they can also, if folks are so moved, they can make a financial contribution. The center, as I mentioned, doesn't get any state funds. So folks can email me for information about that.
All right. And before we let you go, I want to put on your BOCC hat, because this is an important week for the county commissioners as well. Public hearing, because tomorrow's public hearing day, right? Public hearing tomorrow evening about the county manager's budget. So what should people know about that?
Well, every year we have the manager introduces the county budget, which she has done. And then we want to hear from the public. We want, you know, we really do value that input. We consider it carefully, and it weighs into the commissioner's decisions on the adjustments they will make to the county manager's proposal. And the board's been criticized recently that we don't listen to people. Certainly that's been the knock on us around the transit. The truth is, we do listen. We heard lots and lots of public comment about that. We've always gotten public comments about the budget. We don't always agree with everything people say, but we always do take into account their questions, the issues they raise. And lots of times there are tweaks made, just like there were in the transit plan, that really reflects the concerns that the community brings forward. So I encourage folks to come out. Tomorrow night, it's at the Witted Building in Hillsborough. A week from Thursday, we have another public hearing on the budget. That's in the Southern Human Services Center in Chapel Hill.
OrangeCountyNC.gov, if you want to read the budget for yourself. It's posted there online. Again, the manager's proposed budget, more tweaks to be made before the county finally votes. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Good to see you, Aaron.